Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, September 17th, 2016. This is episode 1,323. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches and all that diggity-dang jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO is the number, 888-827-5536. You'll be talking to Heather Hammond, the Phone Ranger, about everything computers and technology, anything with a chip in it. 888-827-5536. Easier to remember, 8888-ASK-LEO. We also have a chat room, irc.twit.tv. People can get in there and participate, be kind of part of the kids in the back of the class. We also have a wonderful website that's free and easy. And I could make so many jokes, but I'm not, because I am a good person. Website is techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. The new iPhones are here. You know, I'm kind of amazed this is the first time I can remember that you could go to the Apple Store. Friday, of course, they became available. Those of us who ordered online a week ago got ours delivered on Friday. If you ordered right away, like in the first seconds, I remember I got in literally in just seconds after the store opened online at midnight last Friday. Literally, I sat there refreshing the App Store both on the web and on my iPad, and the iPad app launched first. So I got in there, jumped right to the Jet Black 7 Plus Jet Black, jumped right to it. It said, delivers October 4th. They sold that out in, I don't know how that happened, but I guess, you know, if you had 100,000 out of, you know, whatever, 10 million that they make, you say you only had 100,000. Well, I guess that would sell out to the first, you know, there must have been 100,000 people at once trying to get in. And that's the one everybody wanted. The new color, the big size, the new size. But then Apple told us, they had told us, well, we're not going to do sales figures for the first weekend as we always do. We're not going to do that this year. You know why? Because it don't mean nothing. They didn't say it like that because Tim Cook is highly grammatical. It doesn't mean nothing, he said, because we know demand will outpace supply. And so all we'll be telling you is what our supply was, not what the demand was. Fair enough. I wouldn't mind knowing what the supply was ahead of time. I'm thinking it wasn't real good, because then they announced on Wednesday, oh, and even if you're waiting in line at the Apple Store, forget getting the big one because they're all sold out. Forget getting the 7 Plus. Man. You know, on the one hand, I think sometimes people say, oh, they do this on purpose because that way it looks like it's in high demand. But I don't think any company really, I mean, it just wouldn't be good business. Any company that's selling a product wants to sell as many products as they can on, you know, a first weekend or not. You want to sell every product that somebody wants to buy, right? So I think Apple, you know, maybe those jet black ones are hard to make. They're not hard to scratch. We know that. CNET apparently took a plastic tool, not even a key or a razor or anything, but a plastic little plastic, what they call a spudger. It's the thing, the tool that's used to open these phones to pry them open. But it's plastic. It's not, you know, metal. And they were able to scratch it all to heck. Which means, I guess, it's just paint. We used a special polishing process and 18 layers of enamel, and we baked it in. No, it's just paint. Scraped it right off. So now, of course, that's the one I ordered. I'll find out. I guess what you need is a case, which kind of begs the question, why are you getting a phone that looks any particular way if you're just going to put it in a case? Well, I'm putting it in a clear case so you can see that I do have that phone, even if it's in a chintzy rubber case that's clear. Anyway, I went back because I said, well, I have to have one for the kids on this weekend. I've got to get one. Delivered to me on the 16th, on Friday. That's the first day you can get them. So I went back and said, well, what can I get? Nothing. Well, I had to get a 7 Plus because I wanted to try the new camera, right? So then I went to the carriers one by one. I was able to find one. It's, it's not the perfect iPhone 7 because it's gold. And while we were very excited about gold in 2014, 2014 gold was the new thing. 2016 rose gold was a new thing. 2016 jet black and matte black are the new thing. So I have a 2014 color phone. Isn't that depressing? But it does have the big wide bender eyes, the dual camera. And, you'd be hard pressed if I just handed this to somebody and said, which generation iPhone? It'd be hard pressed to tell. It looks exactly like last year's iPhone, except for the color, which looks like 2 years. No, I'm not going to say anything more about the color. It's a perfectly good color. I was excited when they said gold. And it has a vibrating button. So this button is not physical anymore. It doesn't actually move, the home button. Still got a ring, still the fingerprint. But when you press it, it goes, the little, Apple calls it a taptic engine because it's like tap, 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 tap. But it's really just what we call in general, generically, a haptic engine. It's a buzzer that goes click it, and then you feel like you've pushed something. Okay. Oh, I'll tell you one thing that's missing. Ain't no headphone jack. Yeah, that's gone. Oh, shoot, I forgot my dongle. I can't listen to my headphones today. Aw. You need a special headphones that use the lightning port or a dongle, which they very generously put one in the box. So I guess I'll be going back to the store and buying many more. At least they're only $9. It's like a $9 tax times 10. Here's the funny part. Then they put, so where the headphone jack was, they put a speaker grill. Ooh, so it must have stereo dual speakers, huh? No. The other speaker is the one that was always there up here. This isn't the speaker. It looks like a speaker. No, it's just holes. It's just holes. It's a dummy speaker where they, I fix it. They take these apart. You know, they flew to Japan to get the, you know, one next midnight or whatever. And they said, well, oddly enough, those holes that look like the speaker on the left where the headphone jack used to be, they go nowhere. There's not a speaker attached to that. They said, it looks like, but we're not sure, but it looks like maybe the idea is that's the microphone is, there's a microphone inside there and that's holes that lead to the microphone. Yeah, they could have done that with a speaker jack, couldn't you? It's a dummy speaker grill. And now I feel like a dummy. Well, Leo, the good news is it's fast. 60% faster than 2 years ago. About 30% faster than last year. Fast. Yeah, I don't know. Do you feel like your phone is slow? You're old, even an iPhone 5? Do you feel like, oh, boy, this is sluggish? I guess, you know, if you put iOS 10 on some of the older phones, maybe you'll feel sluggish. I guess it's fast. I guess it is. I'm sorry. The dummy speaker on the left, that's a design element to make sure that it looks like a balanced left and right on the bottom of the... Of course it is. Johnny Ive, ever attentive to the details that can convince consumers to buy this stuff. Anyway, my bottom line on this is nice, but unless you have an older iPhone, like a 6 or older, you can't really justify this because it's expensive. There it is, my nutshell review, iPhone 7. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I have no idea if it makes a phone call because, as you can see, T-Mobile doesn't work in the studio. Yes, it makes a phone call. It works at home. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888, ask Leo. By the way, I was talking in the break with the chat room. The iOS 10 is a big improvement. That's the biggest improvement. So if you have an iPhone 6S or 6S Plus, put iOS 10 on it, and I think you'll see a much more dramatic change in how the phone works than if you get the new hardware. But I don't blame Apple for that. It's going to be harder and harder to do anything new on a phone. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Well, probably with this phone, Apple could have just did a press release and said, well, yeah, we changed a few things. But that would be foolish from a corporate perspective. You know, people love the big splashy product releases, and they love waiting in line, and they love the excitement of the new phone. So you're going to play to that. It sells lots of phones. But every once in a while, somebody has to stand up and just say, well, it's very nice, but it's not so different. And especially for those of you who have a relatively new iPhone, a 6S or 6S Plus, is not a worthwhile upgrade. It's a lot of money. From a 6, yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, the upgrade from the 6S to the 7, not the big one, but the little one, one little thing that might make a big difference is optical image stabilization. They now have that in the 7, the smaller version. Is that worth giving up a headphone jack? I don't know. It's hard for me to get over that headphone jack thing. I think Apple overstated the value of that, and I think users are understating how inconvenient it's going to be to have to carry that dongle around or just only use Apple headphones. 8888 ask Leo. That's the phone number if you want to talk high tech. 888-827-5536. And let's see here. We got a lot of people on the phone. Heather Haman is here. Hello, Heather Haman.
Good morning.
El Phone Rangero. Trying to make it a more exotic. You have lined up some good people, I think.
Oh, my God, I so have.
And I'm going to make you work an hour longer today. I hope you know that, because we're going to continue to record because I'm going on vacation on Sunday. So we want to have a fresh show for people next week.
Okay.
Yeah. Who should I talk to here?
We're going to stick in the Appleverse and talk to John in Long Beach.
Good deal. Hello. Thank you, Heather. Hello, John. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have a good question for you.
Yes, sir.
I have iTunes running on my old PowerBook G4, and it's iTunes 7.
Yeah, you can't upgrade it. Yeah.
No. But I also have a MacBook Pro.
Oh, good.
And
because we're at 12 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering, is there any way that I could get the old version of iTunes to run on my new MacBook Pro, iTunes 7?
Why would you want that?
I play a lot of music in my classroom. I'm a teacher.
Ah.
The format of it is so much simpler.
Oh, yeah. They've really... This software is the worst.
And it's so confusing for me. And, I'd been using that for so many years. I've got everything memorized. And I would just love to use the old version instead of the new version.
Yeah, I never... I really try not to use iTunes. And, when you do things like get a new iPhone, that's when you kind of interact with it again.
Yeah.
And boy, you realize how unintuitive the user interface is and how broken it is. You know, all I wanted to do was back up the old iPhone so I could restore it to the new one. And just a mess. So Apple often offers older versions of iTunes for all their software for download. If you go to, you can Google it, or support.apple.com/download/iTunes. You'll see a list of older versions, but I don't know if it'll go all. Yeah, the oldest they are. Well, let's see. Let's see how far back in time you can go. 9.2.1.
Okay.
That's 6 years old. But, not 7. Okay. Not seven. And, you know, the problem with seven, I don't know if it even worked because it's for a G4, remember, and now you're on Intel, and they have the latest versions of the operating system have taken out a lot of the compatibility layers. So it'll. I think that's probably why they only offer as far back as 9.2.1. I suspect that's the first one that works fine with Intel.
All right.
So anyway, that's going to be more to your liking. The interface, I don't remember, frankly. I don't go that far back. There are other programs you can use.
Okay.
I use a program called Vox. What are you? So you're just playing back music in the classroom, or what are you doing exactly?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I've just got thousands of songs on my computer, and when my kids are working on their math problems or taking a test or something, I've always got music playing.
Oh, so it's really, it's not, it's just you want to be able to play it back. Yeah. I would take a look at Vox. You know, what happened was, of course, there were a lot of music players available on the Macintosh until Apple said, we're going to do iTunes. They bought, what is it, Jam? They bought one of the players, and that's what iTunes, that's actually the beginning of iTunes. They took an existing third-party product. And then the rest of them just said, oh, well, I'm not going to compete with Apple. But Vox is still around, and actually it's pretty darn good. It has its own kind of iCloud called Loop. You do have to pay for it, that you could store software in. It plays back higher res music than iTunes will. And then there's other programs like VLC and JRiver that still are around, that still work. So maybe that, you know, Vox is a much, for what you're doing, I bet you Vox would be better. It's a much simpler interface. The one of the reasons that iTunes got so bad is it's everything but the kitchen sink, right? It has to do everything.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to the point now. Yeah, they hid the sidebar for a while and people complained, so they brought that back. But like when you plug in your iPod, it used to be the iPod would show up. Now you have to figure out where it is and press a button. And it's crazy.
Yeah, any other thing that's practical I could never find.
Yeah. So try Vox. It's much more simple. It's basically a music player with playlists. It'll do all the things it sounds like you want to do.
Yeah.
I really like it. I don't think it's free, but it's not expensive. It's in the app store.
Okay, I'll try.
V-O-X. All right. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks for being a teacher, too. You know, we always thank folks in the military for their service. I always want to thank teachers as well. Certainly thank military folks for their service, but I want to thank teachers, too. First of all, because teaching middle school kids is like going into battle. But also, more importantly, you're teaching, you're doing the future. You're getting the future ready for the future. And it's a hugely important job. I love the bumper sticker. I see it every once in a while. If you can read this, thank your teacher. Melissa in Fullerton, California. Hi, Melissa. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. We only have a few seconds, so let me get you set up, and then we'll have to take a break. What can I do?
I am probably going to be in the market for a new car in the next 12 months.
I love talking about new car technology because I have a Tesla.
Okay, I know. I have a Tesla, and I don't really need that either.
No, we can talk about what's going on in cars, like autoplay and CarPlay and the electric vehicle. I'll be glad to talk about that. Hey, let's just hold on for a second. I'd love to talk about that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. So this is Vox. High-res audio player with music sources and unlimited cloud. I think they've done a fabulous job. It plays back FLAC, APE, MP3, M4A, AALAC, ALAC, that's the Apple lossless, AUG, AIFF, and I don't even know what Q is. It works, it accesses your iTunes library, which is nice, as well as SoundCloud, online radio, which Apple seems to be phasing out, and YouTube. And it has scrobbling. I pay for Loop, so I'll log in, but you don't need to have Loop to use this. I hear the music. It means it must be time for everybody's favorite home theater guru, Scott Wilkinson, from Dallas, Texas today.
Yeah, I'm coming to you from Dallas, Texas.
What you doing down there?
Well, I'm attending the Cedia Expo. Cedia is the Custom Electronics Design and Installation Association.
Oh.
So much easier just to say Cedia.
Cedia. Yeah, and so it's really intended not for the public, the general public, but people who do this for a living.
Correct. Custom installers and retailers, people who provide these services. You know, if you want a custom, in my case, you want a custom home theater. They also have, you know, centralized vacuum cleaners and security systems.
Oh, really? When they say home installers, install a whole bunch of things. Yeah.
A whole bunch of different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a pretty big show. It's here at the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center covering the whole show floor. And I'm only covering video. My colleague Mark Henninger is covering video for ABS Forum. And there's a lot of video news here. It's really quite amazing, actually.
Yeah.
One of the big news, and one thing I should tell you, though, in preparation, is that this is not the inexpensive stuff. This is the high-end stuff. Because if you're hiring a custom installer to build your home theater, you're going to be spending some money on the equipment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, when I tell you some of these prices, you're going
to
be...
But that's why you go to this, because you want to know what Shaquille O'Neal is watching. Right?
Well, yeah, sure, exactly.
Yeah.
Also, though, that the technology, as you know so well, the technology, you know, starts out expensive and then comes down as more people adopt it and, you know, the chips get stamped out in the millions and so on and so forth. So this is a look at what we might see for the mere mortals in a few years.
Nice.
And the big news, one of the big stories here video-wise is... 4K projectors. Yummy. Really yummy. And not only that, 4K and high dynamic range.
I am all in on this, by the way. You convinced me to get that LG. And
yes.
It just really does look good. And there's more and more 4K content coming
there
out.
Is. Yeah, that's exactly right. In the form of discs, in the Ultra HD Blu-ray discs, but also streaming.
Yep.
And a lot of that is now high dynamic range as well. So you have a greater distance or difference between the deepest blacks and the brightest whites. And that is more, in some ways, more dimensional even than 3D. You know, 3D was a fad that came and went. And people are now saying, oh, 4K, is that another fad? HDR, is that another fad that's going to come and go? No, it's not. It's here to stay. It makes a huge difference in the picture quality, really obvious. And projectors have been lagging behind flat panels. You have a beautiful LG OLED flat panel, which is 4K and high dynamic range.
Yeah.
LG just announced today the 77-inch version of that, of the high-end. You got the entry-level, quote-unquote. The high-end is called the G6. You got the B6. The 77 inch G6 they just announced availability for $60,000.
Wow.
Wow.
What could be so, why is that? What? Huh?
Well, OLED, this technology, organic light emitting diode, OLED, is more expensive to make. And so even the smaller sizes are more expensive than the similarly sized LCD TVs, which you can buy for a lot less money. But the LCD TVs don't get nearly as deep a black. You've seen that now. You've seen how the black on the OLED TV is just super inky black. It's zero. It's no light coming out.
And yeah, so it's really beautiful. Advantage. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I haven't had mine. I'm really looking forward to it because next week you're going to be in here doing the show, by the way. We should give you a plug.
Thank you. And, I'm looking forward to that tremendously.
And 2 weeks from now. And when you come out, I'm going to charge you because you're going to calibrate my set. You and my good friend Robert Heron of Heron
That's
Fidelity,
right.
We'll make an episode of Home Theater Geeks out of it. But would you think I'll notice? I think I'll notice a difference.
I think you will. You did when I did your plasma, right?
Yeah. Less so when you did the Samsung OLED. It was pretty much spot on out of the box.
Well, then maybe this will be similar.
Yeah, I don't know. I noticed there are a lot of settings. And Scott had me get there's a special remote control for servicing.
Yes. And the reason for that is that there are certain controls that aren't available to end users. And one of them, for example, is a dimming control that if a bright scene is on the screen for more than a few seconds, the OLED will start dimming it down. And I'd like to see if I can defeat that. And you can't do that without the service remote. So that's one thing. I'm really looking forward to calibrating it. And the good news is Samsung is announcing, showing here at the show, a calibration disc for high dynamic range. And you have a Xbox One.
Yeah, S. That's what I'm using. That's what I'm using for the disc.
And I have this disc, and so I'm going to bring it along and play it on your TV and see. It provides what we haven't had before, which is what we've had for a long time for calibrating normal, regular HD TVs, is calibrating high dynamic range. It's a whole new kettle of fish.
Oh, interesting.
And this Samsung disc really helps us do that, and they're showing it to people here at this show, to the installers who are going to use it to calibrate the TVs and the projectors that they install in people's homes.
So you get certified to be an installer, right? You get some special training and so forth.
You do. You do. A big part of the Cedia Expo is training courses. And you get certification, and then you can put that on your business card and on your website and so on. And people know you have a certain level of competence.
Is there a new level for HDR TVs?
No, not that I know of. It's so new. I suspect there probably will be, but it's so new, and there's still some things that aren't quite well defined yet. So it's ISF, the Imaging Science Foundation, which is deeply involved with Cedia, and THX both now offer training courses for calibrating HDR, but it's still the Wild West out there.
Yeah. Scott Wilkinson from Dallas, where apparently, are you sitting at a Pong machine, or is that just my imagination? I hear Pong. Beep, 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 beep. I wonder if that's the cell phone signals. We get, you know, this always irks me because it could sound so much better, but they, for some reason.
No, I don't hear that at all.
Yeah, we're hearing it on this end.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. But I think I'm going to cut you loose. Home Theater Geeks podcast, you're going to do it this week?
This week will be a summary of the Cedia show with a panel of journalists
Excellent.
Who are here.
So if you want to know more, twit.tv/HTG for Home Theater Geeks. And, of course, Scott is the editor-in-chief at the AVS Forum, avsforum.com. So, and you've turned that into a magazine now, which is great. It's got everything I want in there, including which HDR TVs to get and which HDR discs to get to show off your HDR TV.
Yep, exactly right.
Love it. Thank you, Scott. Have fun in Dallas. Is it really hot?
It's really hot and really humid.
Yeah. Well, it's a good way to end your summer. Soggy.
Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Scott Wilkinson, great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
And I apologize for the Morse code coming through the phone. Maybe it's being tapped. Maybe he's being tapped. No. That's the beauty of when the phone is tapped, your quality suddenly goes up a lot. Did you know that? Sure, everything sounds great. It's the old days. It's like the 50s and 60s where you'd hear noise and stuff. Now, no, the NSA makes sure that you have excellent signal quality. It's kind of one of the benefits of having a tapped line, I hear. 8888 Ask Leo. When we come back, we're going to talk to Melissa about new car technology and answer more of your calls, too. And don't forget, of course, the website, techguylabs.com, with links to Scott's show and a whole lot more. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, 8888, Ask Leo. Melissa, very patient. Thank you for hanging on through Scott Wilkinson's segment. So you're in the market for a new car. Oh, I have to push the button. There we go. You're in the market for a new car.
I am. Well, I don't need it now. I'm thinking in the next year.
Good. That's good.
When I buy new things, anything, cars, computers, phones, I generally save my pennies and buy the best that I can at the time.
That's pretty sensible.
And cars are the same thing. My current car is a 2000 Acura.
Good. Oh, you drove that into the ground.
Yes.
Good.
No. It's still doing great, actually.
No, of course it is. Yeah, modern cars now really go for a long time.
Yeah. My concern is on my current car, there's nothing that I can't use. Everything that came with the car is still usable. But there's no technology in it.
Yeah.
And when I buy my next car, I intend on keeping it 10, 15, 20 years. I just don't want all of the technology to stop working in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, like my phone and my computer.
Yeah, get obsolete, right?
Right.
And you're not alone in that. The car companies worry about that too, because, well, first of all, their development time, the design time frame is 5 and longer years. So that's why companies like Ford, and I know this only because I've spent a lot of time talking to Ford, are really interested in using the technology in your smartphone for things like entertainment systems. If they can just provide a portal for your phone and let your phone do most of the work, then when you upgrade your phone, you'll get an automatic upgrade.
So the problem is going to be my phone. So I'm currently running an iPhone, and then if
that's fine.
Apple or whoever changes in 5 or 10 years, my new car may or may not
stay. No, it will. Well, I mean, I can't promise.
Right.
But Apple has a technology called CarPlay.
Okay.
And the very newest cars, this is new, so only the very newest cars. But if you say you have a year time frame, more and more cars will support this. You are going to want to look for that. Because what happens is you pair, first of all, you're going to love the fact that you just pair your car to the phone.
Right.
And you get in the phone, the car knows. But with CarPlay, you know, all cars have screens now where the GPS would be.
Right.
With CarPlay, it's a screen that becomes your iPhone. Now, it's a simplified version of your iPhone because it would be too dangerous to put all your icons up there.
Sure.
But the things you want, like music, navigation, and so forth, are now supplied by the electronics of the phone to the car, which is fairly just a passive, it just passes it along.
Mm-hmm.
So that, the theory is, as long as the technology for CarPlay doesn't change, and I don't anticipate it will, then you'll continue, when you get a new iPhone, you'll get new features.
Okay.
So that's, I think, a good way to do it.
And you anticipate, I know you're not a prophet, but you anticipate that will still be valid in 10 or 15 years.
Well, that's an awful long time, as you say, right, in computer time.
Right.
But yes, I do. Look, Bluetooth has lasted that long. Things that are designed to interface like this, of course, you can never, I mean, Apple took the headphone jack out of their phone, for crying out loud. I mean, Apple's an unknown, an unpredictable.
Okay.
A car that supports CarPlay, Apple's technology, in every case I've seen, also supports Android's Play to Android Auto, which is the same thing for Android phones.
And
that's nice, because if you don't want to be locked into an iPhone, if in 2 years you say, boy, that Android phone looking awfully good, it will also do the same, pretty much the same exact thing.
Okay.
The other advantage to that is you kind of want to separate the car's computing systems from the entertainment system.
Right.
Because you don't want, and we've seen this, hackers to be able to break in through the entertainment system and turn your brakes off.
Mm.
And it's actually happened.
Right.
Because car companies were too cheap to put two different computer systems in.
Okay.
So you do kind of want this entertainment system to be separate. And that's one way of doing it, is make it just passively play your phone stuff through.
Right. I don't think I need a lot of technology on my car, because I do so much through my phone. I just need the car and the phone to communicate.
So there's three things that we typically do with our car and our phone. Phone calls.
Yes.
And then navigation and music. And all three of those are very nicely supported with CarPlay. And there are some additional things that CarPlay will do. So I would, the next time you go, Honda now supports it. You said you had a Toyota. I'm pretty sure Toyota will support it if they don't already.
Mm-hmm.
The list of CarPlay companies is pretty complete. The companies that tend not to are companies that are doing their own thing, which I think in the long run is a mistake.
And okay.
It tends to be the luxury car companies, to be frank. So a Toyota or a Honda, you should be just fine.
Go
to the dealer and look at it and see what you think.
All right.
Yeah.
Will do.
Enjoy your new car. Now, I should talk you into electric, but we'll save that for another conversation. I'm very happy with the electric vehicle. There's something, you know, it's funny. My wife still drives a gas Audi, which she loves, and I loved my Audi. But now that we have an electric vehicle and we have solar panels, so the electricity is, you know, self-generated, she says, I'm not going to drive the gas car. Whenever she can, she drives the electric. And I, you know, because you feel good about it. Not only does it save you money on gas, I like not having to go to a gas station. You feel good about saving the environment a little bit, too. And when you generate your own, I think that's pretty good. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Scott, Boulder Creek, Boulder, Colorado. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. My son goes to school at CU Boulder. It's a beautiful town. Love it.
It's really nice. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, am I on?
Yep.
Oh, okay. My phone cut out for a minute. Sorry about that.
No. What can I do for you?
Hey, Leo, I get tons and tons of robocalls. I run a home business, so I get everything from trying to get me to sign up for Google Ads to bank loans to Viagra.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
It's
gotten worse.
I've gotten up to 10 a day.
Oh, my God. How, you can't even use your phone.
No, I can't, but I have to in case a customer calls. It's really bad.
Ooh, because you don't, you can't, just because you don't know that number doesn't mean.
Right. And a lot of times it is a customer because they're calling from a mobile or something like that.
Yeah, see, I won't answer phone numbers that I don't know, but I don't have to answer customer calls.
Yeah, so, and I do. So there's one first thing I wanted to mention is Consumers Union, which is Consumers Reports, is doing a huge push right now. There's
Make
robocalls illegal.
I know, and I love Consumers Union. I'm a subscriber. I've been a subscriber my whole adult life, and bless them for doing that.
Yeah, people can go to consumersunion.org and sign petitions, and they're also pushing the phone companies as well.
Good.
But I wanted to tell you, What I do when I get
please now I only have a half minute left so
okay so what I do is I figure I'm saving other people from getting hassled. I pretend like I'm playing with the people, so if they're trying to sell me Viagra, if I have time, I do that because it keeps them from calling and hassling someone else.
Well, maybe yeah, you're tying them up. Isn't that funny? Hey, I got to take a break, but I do have some suggestions, and I'll tell you a story about my own experience with a robocall. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, home theater, virtual reality goggles, all that jazz. Anything with a chip in it. 888-ASK-LEO. That's my number. 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, outside that area. Just call via Skype. Won't cost you anything. That's probably part of the problem with robocalls, right? Won't cost you anything. What is the... There's a huge leap. Our last caller said he gets 10 a day in these... Well, robocalls are one thing. Robocalls are automated phone calls. You pick up the phone. There's silence for a second. Then it says, hold the line for an important announcement. Or the like. Some of them are more sophisticated. Are you... Leo Laporte, because I have, you've just won. And then sometimes they're humans. I was driving along in my fancy car the other day. Where were we going? Oh, we were going to the football game on Monday night football game last week. And got a call. Guy says, hello, I'm calling from Microsoft. And we have noticed unusual activity coming from your computer. Now, if you've listened to this show, you know that I'm wise to this one. I said, oh, really? He says, yes. Are you sitting in front of your computer right now? I said, well, now, here's where some of you and some of the people in the chat room would then engage this guy, like our last caller, just say, I'll talk. My life's too short to engage this guy. So I said, I just want to say, shame on you for scamming innocent people. It is a crime what you are doing. You should really think about that. Look at yourself. By then he'd hung up. But shame. Say shame. They're humans on the other end. You know, many of the times I understand, I don't know for a fact, but I understand that many times these are actual support people who, when, you know, they have downtime, their companies make them do these calls. Now, what he's going to do. And I have enough experience to know about this. And what I want you to know is, say you've got problems. He's going to demonstrate that by having you run the Microsoft Event Viewer, which is kind of an obscure command. And he says, do you see all those red X's, all those, red exclamation marks, yellow X's, all those? That's what's going bad. Oh my gosh. Oh, we got to fix that. Well, for a mere $299, I will fix it. But you've got to give me remote access to your computer. Now, there's three things wrong, really, with that. One, don't give him $299. Two, at the same time as you're giving him $299, you're giving him your credit card information. That should set up a red flag. Three, you're giving him access to your computer. And when somebody has access to your computer, whether physically in the room or remotely via, you know, a software, he could do anything he wants. You don't know what he's doing. He's putting malware on their remote access Trojans. No wonder the director of the FBI has a piece of tape over the camera on his laptop. He knows. Now, you could put a piece of tape over your laptop camera. Maybe you should anyway. That's another story for another day. We could talk about that. But if somebody calls you, say, no, shame on you. How would you feel if somebody did this to your mother? You know, really, I mean, I think that's the trick, right? Make them think about their life and how they're wasting it. Maybe some people have no conscience. But I think most humans, you hear that enough, you're going to go, yeah, you know, you're right. I should probably not be doing this. Then there's the problem of, you know, telemarketers, I feel bad for. Usually they're young. They're getting very poor wages. It's a terrible job. And people are yelling at them and hanging up at them at every turn. So I'm never mean to them. They're not trying to scam. They're just trying to sell. I'm always nice. My rule, and probably should be your rule too, is never, ever, ever give somebody money over the phone, period. Because you can't verify their identity. And every time you do that, not only are you potentially giving a scammer money, you're giving them your credit card. So don't. My policy is to say, and I say this in public as well, when people solicit in public, I'm sorry, I don't give in public or on the phone, but give me your website, give me your information, I will do some research, and I promise I will contribute, I will donate once I've seen your site, and I can do it in a safe way, and I know that you're not scamming me, and I would recommend that. There's lots of talk about legislation against this stuff. The problem really is that it's much of it coming from overseas where no American law will stop them. And I think, you know, it's clearly getting worse, right? A lot worse, which is funny because we live in an age of caller ID. My wife and I were watching a movie last night, Paul Newman in The Verdict. The phone's ringing. It was a 1982 movie. It wasn't even that old, right? But the phone's ringing and it's a dial phone. So first of all, when you... Oh, that's funny. That's old. But then the phone's ringing, and we both thought, we were talking, he has no idea who's calling. There's no way, you can't tell who's calling. That's just a phone ringing. You just have, you know, either you pick it up and find out. And this, in 82, I don't even think we had an answering machine. You can't even let it go to the answering machine. You just have to answer it. That was a bad thing. For 80 years, from the invention of the telephone until only recently, you had something in your home that would make anybody could make a very loud bell go off in your home at any time. What were we thinking? Why did we put up with that? Thank goodness we live in an era now of voicemail and caller IDs. Increasingly, people don't even have landlines anymore. And there are technological solutions, I think, to some of these problems. If you're like our caller and you have to answer because you don't know what your client's phone number is, there's solutions like, and there's several people in the chat room have used it, something called Nomo Robo, which is a robocall kind of blocker. And it's free for landlines, $5 a month for land and cell phone. Nomorobo. Now, I haven't used it. I should probably set up a Nomo Robo account. Just try it. But a number of people in the chat room said they do, and they love it. They do love it. So that is one solution. You know, the people I worry about are not you. If you're listening to this show, you're savvy. You know, you've heard enough about this by now that you're savvy. I worry about my mom, older people, you know, sometimes lonely, sometimes glad to talk to somebody, and really just pray. Pray for these people, not P-R-E-Y, not, you. Well, we could pray for them, P-R-A-Y, but they are prey to these predators, and it's gotten so much worse, and I don't know what the solution is. I don't, and I don't think legislation will fix it, because so many of them aren't bound by U.S. laws. I guess really the trick is keep your phone number as private as you possibly can, but even then, many of these dialers just dial random numbers. Clearly, the guy who called me on my cell phone in my car didn't have my number, didn't know who he was talking to. They were randomly dialing. So I just don't know what the answer is, but it's clearly a problem and we're all suffering, aren't we? And of course, election season makes it even worse because then you get campaign robocalls too. And you can't ask them a question. Somebody, bad pun in the chat room, saying, well, just say, how did you get my number? They're not going to tell you. If it's a U.S. telemarketer, it's very simple. I'm always very polite. They have to obey the law. You say, thank you. I'm not interested, but please, for future, please put me on your do not call list. And you won't get a call from that one again. Of course, they're spawning like bunny rabbits, so you'll probably not notice a decrease in calls. I'll tell you, this is catalog season. You get a lot of catalogs in your email. I'll tell you a way to fix that. Really good solution. When we come back, an app that we use like crazy at home. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of your calls right after this. Call this way. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. I was just, scary listening to a selection of, well, it's really horror audio from the Wall Street Journal like this.
This call is officially a final notice from the IRS. The nature and the purpose of this call is to inform you that we have received legal petition notice concerning a tax fraud against you.
Scammer or this.
Hello, this is Rachel at Cardholder Services calling in reference to your current credit card accounts. There are no problems currently with your account.
But
it's urgent that you contact us concerning your eligibility.
Of course it is. Or maybe.
Informing you that you are now qualified under a recent bill passed in Congress.
Yeah. Or how about this?
Hi, this is Josh from the Customer Service
Josh.
Department. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Josh.
Okay, great. You have been pre-selected to receive a...
Wait, let me try that again.
Hi, this is Josh from the Customer Service Department. Can you hear me okay?
No, Josh, I can't hear you at all.
Okay, great. You have been pre-selected to receive a vacation of...
Let me try that again.
Hi, this is Josh from the Customer Service Department. Can you hear me okay?
Josh, you lying scumbag.
Okay,
I hate...
great. You have been pre-selected to receive a vacation...
I don't want it! By the way, the IRS will never call you at your home, period. The great article by Joe. Josh. Thank you. Great article by Joanna Stern in the Wall Street Journal last June. How to stop robocalls or at least fight back. Really, there's no way to stop them. But she did note that the first half of 2016, complaints to the FCC about pre-recorded calls or robocalls at a record high, 1 million. These are just the people complaining to the FTC. 1 million. 443,463. Crazy. Cray-cray. Nothing. You know what? There's nothing. There's nothing you can do. Josh is a go-getter, isn't he? Josh, are you still there, Josh?
Okay. So our records show that you are at least 28 years old and that you still have a current credit or debit card, correct?
No, I don't, Josh. I'm 12.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you clearly. Nowadays, most resorts require credit cards. Do you have a credit card that you can use on your trip?
Josh, I live in a cardboard box under the highway.
Okay, no problem. Sorry to have bothered you, and hope you have a good day.
Well, at least he's friendly. Josh, your pants are on fire. All right, back to the phones. I promise I will never call you at your home. Dennis in Marina Del Rey. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Leo, thanks for taking my call. I'm so stressed. I've taken two Valium and done an hour of meditation and it doesn't work.
Well, what can I do to help you, Dennis?
Yeah, I need to buy two consumer products. One's a cell phone and one is a printer. Now, the problem is
they're unrelated products, I assume. Okay.
Yeah, but you're the only guy I trust.
Okay, and, okay.
I even talk to your advertisers and tell them when I go in there, I'm
nice.
Go on the radio. So,
do you use that nice radio voice when you talk to them? Do you work in the business? Come on, tell me the truth.
Years ago I did, but for about the last, and I was a ham radio operator.
Ah.
And I did do voiceovers. But
yeah, I can hear the pipes.
For the last 40 years, I've been a professional photographer.
Hmm.
And I'm retired military right now, but I still do a lot of photography. It's more a referral basis now, and I do a lot of charity work.
Okay.
And I had an Artisan 810.
Love that printer. Don't you love that? Wasn't that a nice printer?
It was a gift. It was a gift for me. Now, the problem is I don't use it that often for printing out photos. Most of the time when I do photos for people, I send it online and I'll let them print out as many as they want to.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
But the problem was is I used it for a document feeder to try and make it a paperless office, which is great. But recently, it said that the magenta cartridge was out, so I went down, bought another one, and an Epson brand, you know, the real brand, and put it back in, and the same problem. So if I have it fixed, it's going to cost me at least $100 or so.
Right, and why do that when a printer is less than that?
Right. Now, the problem is I probably print, sending paperwork to the IRS or to the VA, and I probably print less than 50 pages a year.
That is a problem because inkjets get clogged up if you don't use them regularly.
And the problem is when the color ink is out, you can't print in black and white either. So,
right.
So I need to know which printer I need to get. And
now, I should tell you these guys are a sponsor. Epson's a sponsor. So take anything I say. No, I'm going to be honest with you whether they're a sponsor or not. But I do like the newer Epson Eco tanks do not get clogged. They don't have cartridges. They have a tank of ink. And I think for light-duty printing, they're actually a better choice than an inkjet. I mean, a cartridge inkjet. They're both inkjets. They continue to print in black and white even if you've run out of other colors.
Oh, I love that. Okay, and every now and then, one of my neighbors that I'll do, you know, a headshot or something like that, they may not have a printer, so I need to print out a color printer.
So you can certainly, you know, and now I should tell you ahead of time, they're more expensive because you're getting like 2 years of ink, getting 50 cartridges worth of ink in the box. So you're paying for that ink up front, but it's cheaper than cartridges. The other way to go, an inexpensive Brother or a laser printer, or there you can actually for $100 now get laser printers. They've really dropped in price. They don't, you know, they don't care what their duty cycle is at all. There's nothing to dry out. But you know, color gets more expensive, etc. And if you ever want to do photo printing, of course, laser printers are not good at photo printing.
No, I could always take it to one of the labs around here.
I prefer to do that. I might proof on a printer, but you know what? It's so finicky. It's much easier just to send it to a lab.
And then if it comes out wrong, then they correct it till I like it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Now, I've had a Galaxy S4 for about the last, I got it when it first came out. And the problem is it's been heating up. I've put a couple of batteries in there. And I was actually looking at the Galaxy Note.
I love it. And when they come out with a new one, I would not hesitate to recommend it.
Good.
That'll be the safest phone in the market. I can pretty much guarantee you. No, they're great. I had a Note 7, and I was very happy with it. I don't know if the stylus makes a difference to you or not, but I find that very useful for annotating and taking quick notes. It is the best screen. As a photographer, you appreciate the screen. The color on the screen is really great. And the size is nice. And one of the things Samsung does very well, they have a 5.7-inch screen in that Note 7, but it's smaller than the iPhone that has a smaller screen because there's no bezel. And so they've really made it a compact phone that is still really easy to see. And I think it's just a great phone. I was so disappointed that they had these explosive problems. And if you do have a Note 7, do trade it in. The story that Samsung's putting out is that September 21, they'll be back in the market with fixed phones. They won't have the exploding phone problem anymore.
Well, you've helped me out. I want to help you out with one other thing.
Certainly.
Were talking about the robocalls. I have come up with a way that we can really bust these guys. And what happens is I get them all the time. I probably get 20 or 30 a day.
Ugh.
And what happens is I ask them, I said, are we being recorded? And they said, yes, which is against California wiretap law.
That's right.
632 and 633.
That's right.
And they don't even realize that it's a felony for each count, and it's about a...
You're committing a felony. Oh, I love it. That's a great solution. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. G. Scott says his Workforce Pro, he leaves it in Minnesota in an unheated cabin all winter, and it still prints when I get back in the spring. That's good to know. I think they've fixed those issues, but laser printer never has that problem. Normally, Johnny Jett would be joining us to talk travel today, but he is not because he had a baby. Oh, he is? Wait a minute. Are you kidding me?
Reload the profile.
You think he could be here? Well, I can't do it right now. Maybe he'll be here later. Through the magic of videotape, we recorded Johnny earlier. So we'll get to Johnny's segment next hour. But that means I get to continue to talk to you, and I'm glad about that. Kenny on the line from Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Kenny.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had two questions about the new iPhone.
Okay. I'm holding one in my hot little hands. Apparently, I'm one of the few who was able to get one.
I looked at it. I'm not able to upgrade till November, but my couple of questions were which iPhone, if any, is unlocked?
Ah, that's a great question.
Like to get an unlocked phone.
So there are, this year, there are two models in the U.S. There's a CDMA model that's being sold by Verizon and Sprint, and there's a GSM model that's being sold by AT&T and T-Mobile. The good news is if you get the Verizon version, Verizon has made a deal with the FCC not to lock their SIM card slots. So that was a consent decree because the FCC was mad at them for something. And that means you can I've read articles that say the best unlocked iPhone to get is the Verizon one because you could put a SIM card from any of the four majors in it and most of the minors as well, you know, the MVNOs and stuff, and it would work fine. Ostensibly, the T-Mobile version is unlocked, the T-Mobile version, but I haven't tried this, and I will get a T-Mobile when I get back from vacation. October 4th is when my T-Mobile version comes. And so the only drawback to that is it does not have the CDMA radio, so it may be difficult to activate it on Sprint, Verizon, or some other CDMA carriers. Not sure if, you know, nowadays every carrier is using LTE, and all the phones have LTE chips. And as long as the carrier hasn't SIM locked it, that's what you're really worried about, is the SIM locking. In theory, it should work, but there may be an issue with the GSM unlocked T-Mobile on the other two carriers. So I haven't tried it. Now, I should say that I had to get this phone, the iPhone 7 Plus that I'm using right now, from AT&T. They were the only people who had it in stock. And it's theoretically SIM locked, but I was able to put it after I activated it. I had to activate it first. Once I activated it on the AT&T network, I was able to pull the AT&T SIM out, put a T-Mobile SIM in, and it worked fine. The problem is, this is all anecdotal, and Apple is not saying, and as they've done in years past, they're not selling an unlocked phone until later. They may in a few months. So right now, you have to choose a carrier if you're going to buy an iPhone. So who's your carrier?
Mine's AT&T, and
Are you thinking of using it where, on what other carrier?
I just like selling, if I want to sell it later,
right.
I want to sell it as unlocked.
I think if you get the T-Mobile, well, we know for sure it'll work on AT&T, no problem. And that's the closest to unlocked. I guess you could take a chance, get the Verizon. But Verizon won't sell it to you unless you have an account with them.
Oh, I'll buy it through Best Buy and they'll sell me.
They will? They won't force you to activate it as a Verizon phone?
No, last year I bought one straight out of Verizon. I mean, straight out of Best Buy.
Interesting.
And it didn't even open the box or nothing.
Huh.
Paid, you know.
Yeah. You know, Apple, probably because Apple doesn't want a brisk reseller market. And given how hard to get these phones are, there probably is a fairly brisk reseller market on eBay and elsewhere and just the street. They're probably being a little cagey about telling you what you can and cannot do. They don't sell anything that's, they say, unlocked. But the T-Mobile phone does not have to be activated on T-Mobile, as far as I know. But again, I got it on AT&T, and I've been able to use it on T-Mobile, no problem. I'm using it on T-Mobile right now. I have to try it on Verizon. I don't have a Verizon account anymore. I used to. I have to try it on Sprint and Verizon. Apple's stingy with this information. I think they really don't want people to mess around. They want you to buy it through a carrier. That's probably the carriers telling Apple, dudes. Because, you know, for instance, Google, all the Google phones are sold completely unlocked. Put whatever SIM you want in there. So it's when you get it through a carrier that the carriers often lock the SIM slot. They make it so that you can only use that phone on that carrier. That grip is weakening. The fact that I was able to activate this at AT&T and then just put a T-Mobile SIM in and it worked tells me it's that grip is weakening. But Apple doesn't want to publicize it.
Well, that's good. I just had one more question.
Sure.
In the iPhone 7, I haven't been able to find this. Do you know what the milliamp battery is in the iPhone 7?
Yeah, we do now, thanks to a teardown from iFixit. You know, of course, Apple says, oh, you shouldn't have to worry about things like how much RAM, how big the battery is. And it is true that Apple does lots of mojo so that you can't, for instance, say, compare the battery on an iPhone to the battery on an Android phone. That's not a way to see what the battery life is like. However, this one, let me check. I'm pretty sure it's 2,900 milliamp hours. It's slightly bigger than last year. Yeah, 2,900 milliamp hours for the Plus.
Okay, did they not give the 7 or?
No, they only tore down a Plus, but as I remember, the 7, it was less. I can't remember how much less. I want to say 2,400 milliamp hours. But again, don't compare it to an Android phone. You can compare it to other iPhones a little bit, but even then, this phone has circuitry that makes it a little bit stingier with power. So, for instance, while it's a bigger battery than the 6S Plus, it's actually a smaller battery than the 6 Plus, but it gets appreciably better battery life.
Yeah, that's the same thing with the 6. They gave a bigger battery for the 6 and then a smaller battery for the 6S.
That's right. And so this time they've gone up, but not up as much. Triple Ad saying 1,960 milliamp hours in the 7.
1960, that's better than the 6.
Yeah, it's interesting, again, because I don't think that that's the only measure of battery life. Apple's claiming better 2-hour better battery life on the 7 and an hour better battery life on the 7 Plus. I haven't had it long enough to be able to confirm that. But I have to say, the Pluses have always had really generous battery life.
You know. I wish they'd make the whole back as a battery.
I know. Well, you can get a Mophie case. I mean, there are cases that have batteries. Apple even sells one. A weird-looking humped battery case that will improve the battery. What I generally do if I'm worried about battery, I bring an external battery, and that gives me a recharge capability.
Yeah, I have one of those as well. But you know,
everybody who plays Pokemon Go now knows about that. one of the reasons that Apple gets more battery life is it's a lower resolution screen. They also, this new processor, the A10 Fusion processor, has 4 cores. 2 are high speed, 2 are low speed, and it will prefer the low speed core because that uses a lot less juice. So they do a lot of tricks in here.
Yeah, they give you a big engine, but it's all
sleep. Yeah, big engine.
But 75% of the time.
4 of the cylinders are non-functioning. Yeah, that's exactly right. But, you know, everybody's doing that now. You're going to see a lot of tricks like that because the fact is battery technology is not improving. So the only way to improve battery is either to increase the size of the battery. No one wants to do that. Everybody wants smaller, thinner phones. Or to play tricks in the software. And both Android and iOS are doing that to improve battery life. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the number. Johnny Jett next hour. He had a baby. Congratulations, Johnny and Natalie. Little Jack. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. So, an update from iFixit. iFixit is the great, at iFixit.com, the great company that does teardowns of new electronics when they come out. They're looking at repairability because that's what they do for a business is sell tools and parts so that you could fix it. And they're I love it. Their kind of mission statement is to put manuals for everything, fix-it manuals on for everything because you should be able to fix the stuff you own. Oh, yeah. Now, the good news is they tore down the iPhone 7 Plus that came out yesterday. They were able to get one very early on and tore it down, I think, in Japan. And so now we know a lot, for instance, of the battery size and stuff like that because they've actually taken it apart. It was kind of a surprise to me when they noted that the headphone jack that was removed from the iPhone 7 Plus and the 7 has given way. Well, if you look at the bottom of it, it looks like it's given way to a second speaker on the left. That's what's there instead of the headphone jack. And then it was somewhat of a surprise to me to learn that there isn't, in fact, a speaker behind there, which you can verify for yourself. If you play sound out of it and listen, you'll see there's nothing coming out of it. They weren't sure. They hypothesized that maybe, because there's a molded piece of plastic that goes to those holes in the bottom, maybe it is for channeling audio into the phone from outside, or taptic vibrations from the phone outside. Well, Apple's updated this, and I just saw this update on the iFixit site. According to Apple, those holes are used. The plastic component that's attached to those holes is a barometric vent. So this iPhone is waterproof. So when there's holes in the iPhone, they have to have some way of keeping water from coming in. So that's what this vent does. And the reason they put it there is because, of course, because the phone is sealed. Well, I'll read what Apple said. With the added ingress protection afforded by the watertight seal, the iPhone uses this baffle to equalize, well, the internal and atmospheric pressures, the pressure inside and out, in order to have an accurate altimeter. So the iPhone's always had an altimeter, but now with a sealed phone, your altimeter won't work unless there's holes in the phone that let the pressure equalize. So these are pressure equalization holes. So here's the good news. You've lost a headphone jack, but you've gained an altimeter. Wow. 88. Wow. Just wow. wow. Dave in Phoenix, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm baffled, somebody says. Yes, it's a baffle. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Leo. I'm out here in Phoenix, Arizona, and I had a question about, well, with your good advice, I never get malware. But if I did get malware, you always say reinstall the OS, the operating system. Mm-hmm. What about our applications for, like, Microsoft Office?
Yeah, you got to reinstall those too. So here's why I say that. So malware always has to somehow execute a program. That's how malware works. And most malware takes advantage of flaws in the operating system that let a bad guy execute a program without your knowledge. Because normally you have to run a program. You have to double click it or run it. And often with Windows, you'll get the UAC pop-up that says, you know, are you sure you want to do this, etc. Bad guys want to get around all of that and just silently install stuff. So either they trick you into running a program through an email attachment, or sometimes if there's a flaw in the operating system, they can trigger it remotely by visiting a website, or sometimes they can do it in a data document. And this is really pernicious. There have been flaws, for instance, in Microsoft's renderer that renders graphic images that allow a bad guy to send you a malformed JPEG. This happened on iOS recently as well. A malformed JPEG that would actually trigger malware that would allow them to install software on your system. So the reason I say erase the whole drive and start over is because even if you find an infection, there are plenty of infections that you wouldn't be able to find in any normal way. Rootkits, weird stuff that just, you know, lives there, that, or stuff that's so new that the, you know, malware bytes or the antivirus you're using just doesn't know about it. Nothing can find everything. So once you've been compromised, security experts say, the best, safest route is to assume you've been fully compromised in ways you can't verify. So just wipe the drive and reinstall. Now, if you reinstall your applications from known good sources, and Office is a good example, you just download it and reinstall it from the web, those are fine too. And in most cases, you can restore your data, because even if you had that bad JPEG in your data and your photos, it would also have to have an exploitable player in there, and Microsoft patches those, and most third parties are pretty quick to patch. So the idea would be reinstall the operating system, make sure it's fully up to date, and every program that you use that goes on the internet is fully up to date, and then you can restore your applications and data. So that's how you do it. Now, you're right. What if you don't have the serial number anymore or the app? Well, you're going to lose it. And if you know all of this, what I just told you, you can make the decision, well, do I want to take the chance? You know, given that I don't have this program anymore and I can't afford to lose it, I'm pretty sure I've gotten rid of all infection. Am I willing to take the chance? And that's the only way you can answer that question. Just as long as you, but you need to understand what the risks are, that there's malware hidden on there that you don't know about, that you didn't remove, but you thought you removed.
Would saving the image make a difference?
Yeah. So what I would recommend, if you're sure you don't have malware now, mm-hmm. is making an image of backup. And you can restore that instead of restoring the operating system. You just restore that. That's why I recommend these image backups. The best time to do it, of course, is when you're installing on a blank disk with a known good copy of all the programs. Because then you know the image is clean. If the image isn't clean and you restore it, you're restoring the malware. One can be over paranoid in all this.
What would you recommend for a good image restore?
There's quite a few. I use something from Germany called Drive Snapshot. My friend Steve Gibson, who is a guru on hard drives and everything, recommended that originally, but now he uses something called Drive. What is it called? Drive Imager. Drive Dash Image. But there are a lot of people who use Macrium, Macrium. There's a free version of Macrium. Clonezilla is hard to use. It's a Linux-based image restorer. There's two kinds of imagers. One that requires you to be exited out of Windows. You boot up from a disk. And that gets everything because Windows isn't running. Then there are some like Drive Snapshot that run while under Windows. And that usually is fine. I mean, it's hard to image something while it's running, but apparently it can be done. The real advantage, though, what you're really looking for is one that you don't have to reinstall Windows to use. So, for instance, Microsoft comes with a backup imaging program, there's a little installer that you use that will let you restore from it. So you could use that too. It's weird because it says Windows 7 version. I mean, it doesn't. But it works fine with Windows 10. That's often what I'll use. So if you I think you just search for backup and you'll find the imaging software that comes with Windows 10. That's another one.
Sounds good. That's what I'll do. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. I'll put a link to some of the other ones. Drive Image. Actually, the one Steve recommends is Drive Image from Runtime Software. I think that's the one he recommends. I've always liked Drive Snapshot. There's a lot of other ones. Acronis True Image is a commercial program that does quite well. But yeah, this is a marvelous thing to do because then you have backup of your data. You also have a drive image that it's a snapshot in time. And if you did that snapshot at a time when you were sure there is no malware on here, that is a good way to restore. And it saves you time. And you might have all your applications on it. But you have to remember to do that before you get the infection, that's all. There's certain things experienced Windows users know and do. You always have a boot disk, you always have recovery tools. Usually the boot disk and the recovery tools are in the same disk or USB key. You always have drive images of known good versions of Windows, that kind of thing. You keep them up to date. Lots of recommendations in the chat room for other drive imagers. We'll put them all in the show notes. Our show notes are at techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com. And that's a great place to go for free. No sign up. I don't want your email or anything to get everything I talk about so you don't have to write anything down. Additional comments and suggestions from our listeners because there's a comment section on every question. And eventually, after the show, audio and video of the show. 8888 Ask Leo. That's my phone number. Another hour to go. And don't forget, we're going to continue to take calls after the show ends today. Yeah, Clonezilla works with anything because it doesn't even run under the operating system. You boot to the Clonezilla image, which is a Linux image, and it just does a sector copy. So it doesn't care what you're running. We gotta get ready for Dick DeBartolo. He's coming up in just a bit. Before we do that, though, let me talk a little bit about Blue Apron. Oh, I love the Blue Apron. Now, we're going on vacation, so, of course, I said, don't send us the box. And that's the nice thing about Blue Apron. You can schedule the box whenever you want. You choose the items you want from the Blue Apron menu. Always some fun stuff. In fact, it's always hard to choose. I should probably tell you what Blue Apron is in case you don't know. Blue Apron is the best thing ever. It delivers the most amazing ingredients to your door, fresh and delicious, and then you cook it at home, so you're getting a fresh meal. The Blue Apron box is refrigerated. The meat is always fresh, never frozen, and it's the best quality stuff. Seafood sourced sustainably, beef raised humanely. Chickens are free-range, pork is ranged naturally, and they use regenerative farming practices. 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. And you're going to get ingredients maybe you've never even worked with, like fairy tale eggplants. I love those. It's so good. Blue Apron's mission, to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone while supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs, of which I am one. You know, I'm always at the end of the day from work, you know, you're tired, you don't want to go shopping, plan a meal. Blue Apron solves that. Let's just see what's on the menu this week. You got, by the way, the two-person plan or the family plan. Family plan also includes ingredients that are more kid-friendly, like summer squash and mozzarella focaccia pizza, or crispy pork chops with roasted potato wedges and summer squash tomato slaw. But you know what? It's all healthful. It's all delicious. And at $10 a meal, it's about, I don't know, a third the price, maybe even less, half the price of your grocery store, because, of course, they're shipping it direct to you. Oh, big fan, Korean pork tacos with spicy red cabbage slaw. Definitely putting that on my menu. Let me add that. You can get your first three meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. Blackened chicken with zucchini, rice, corn, and cherry tomatoes. Yum! Yum! First three meals free, blueapron.com/twit. Crispy salmon. They have vegetarian choices too. Spiced cauliflower with jasmine rice and cilantro yogurt sauce. Once you get a meal, you see my mouth's watering. Once you get a meal, you then have the option to make it yourself later, right? Because you now know. You get a recipe card with all the details. There are even videos that will help you become a master chef. But it's not just about that. It's about cooking for your loved ones. It's about getting the family together. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook together three times as often. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free. Free shipping, too. And they do ship to 99% of the continental United States. Go to blueapron.com/twit. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals. Oh, you can put a little lemon in there. Oh, look at that. With Blue Apron. Don't wait. blueapron.com/twit. Well, hey, hey, hey. How are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, iPhone 7s, Apple Watch 3s, Series 2. I got ahead of myself. Watch OS 3, iOS 10, OS 10 Sierra, 8888 Ask Leo, Windows 10 Anniversary Update. Website techguylabs.com. Mark is in Vienna, Virginia, home of America Online. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
I've got a question about getting a new laptop. However, first I'd like to make a couple of very quick comments.
Sure.
About previous things. Okay. First thing is, you were started off talking about iTunes. And I've got a Mac. Well, I've got several Macs, but I got one Mac that I've specifically held back to Mountain Lion so that I keep running version 10. Yes, I agree that...
Oh, was that the last good version of iTunes?
I agree that the user interface is horrible.
Yeah.
But the thing that became totally intolerable is I use it exclusively for podcasts.
Good.
Okay. With iTunes 11, you listen to a podcast, you delete it, iTunes reloads it.
Oh, man.
I find myself deleting 57 or 157 old podcasts that I don't care. Okay, the other comment was real fast. I'm a big fan of Macrium.
By the way, that's an irony because the other problem with iTunes, a lot of people reported, is it's deleting their music. So it will undelete podcasts, but apparently will delete the things you really want. Well done.
Okay.
Well done. Well, Macrium. You use Macrium?
Yes, I do. Now, there may be other good products that I haven't used, so I'm not saying Macrium is the one best. The thing I like about Macrium is I can move an operating system from one hard drive to another, being whether the target drive is larger or smaller or the same size.
I do like that. I do like that.
That is the feature that sold me on it.
So you're using Macrium Reflect, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. Back to iTunes. Real briefly, I ran into a problem long, long time ago. iPod Nano version 2.
Yeah.
And they haven't fixed the bug yet. If you load only podcasts and you create playlists, it won't load the playlist onto the iPod unless you load at least one song on it. So, yes, I have some music on my iPod.
So you can't load an empty playlist for some reason?
No, I can. I create playlists, and I can't recall exactly, but I'm thinking maybe the playlist showed up, but they became empty.
This is a known problem of deleting playlist contents. Yeah, that is a known problem.
Well, okay. Anyway, back to the real reason.
Thank you, iTunes. Why Apple hasn't fixed this, I have no idea. Certainly people will call every time. In fact, I thought you might be one of them to say, well, I love it. It works fine for me. But far more of us are just in deep pain. So
it works fine for me if I stick with the old version.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really depends on what you do with it, whether you like it or not, you know.
Right. Okay, no, as far as I'm interested in getting a new laptop.
Yes.
Now we're out of the Mac world. I'm into the PC world.
All righty. Okay.
Well, Intel's still Mac, too. Okay. I have got right here a Dell Latitude D630.
Yeah.
Okay. It's working fine now, but it won't forever.
Yep.
Okay, the thing I love about this laptop is I remove two little screws off the bottom, and I can slide the hard drive out the side.
This is a really old laptop. I'll give you an idea, folks. It's running a Core 2 Duo. So in those days, you could take them apart and put stuff in. Sometimes you could even remove the battery and put a new one in.
Well, the battery, you just have a little snap and it comes out.
Yeah, those days, pretty much gone.
Well, okay, see, here's the issue. I have got about 14 hard drives for this laptop. I don't put the screws back in. If I slide the hard drive in, it fits in nicely and won't fall out.
Yeah.
So, I can boot up Windows 7. I've actually got a master copy of Windows 7. And then I'm running a dirty version of Windows 7, if you will. If I ever get it dirty, I can always use a hard drive duplicator to duplicate the clean Windows 7 over. I started doing that long before Macrium. I got Windows 8 and then 8.1, so I know what I'm talking about when somebody asks me for some support.
So you help people with their systems.
Well, I've been doing computers since 63.
Somebody said in the chat room, oh, this sounds like a mainframe guy. They were right, weren't they? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So
I remember looking at a mainframe with a half a meg of memory on it, and I said, nobody will need this much unless he goes.
Who could possibly ever use more than 512K?
Well, no, when I said half a meg, I mean half a million. We counted decimal on that machine.
Oh, wow. Who would ever need more than 500K? So I am sure somebody still makes laptops that you can unscrew.
I want to know. Who do I look for? Because, I mean, I got Debian, I got Ubuntu, I got Windows.
Yeah.
You know, I hear.
So you do this a lot. You unscrew the thing and put a new hard drive in all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
The
ideal, at this point, maybe what you would want to look at that would save you a little energy is a laptop with a fast external port. It used to be eSATA. USB really wasn't fast enough. The new Thunderbolt 2 is pretty fast, and some laptops are starting to emerge, and most will, with Thunderbolt 3. Thunderbolt 3 is as fast as the internal bus. So you could use an external drive, and it'd be much easier for you than having to take
on my Macs. I mean, I can boot up my Mac with Anything from Tiger.
Right, and you can do the same thing. The key is, of course, you want it to be as fast as if you had an internal drive. And that's where Thunderbolt will really benefit you. I agree that USB Type 3, 3.1 might be fast enough. But you'd really see the benefit of Thunderbolt 3. So another option, instead of a laptop you could take apart, and there are some, you can even take a MacBook apart if you have the right a screwdriver bit, and you open it up. It's not so hard to get to the hard drive. But a lot of hard drives now are not the hard drives you're talking about. They look like dim memory cards. They're cards. And so that wouldn't suit you. You want a SATA connection, probably.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So that's why here's what I would suggest. You'll have faster booting times with one of the new Dell XPS, for instance, which is what I would recommend. And they use this new NVMe solid state. And that's great for the internal drive, and I would just leave it at that. And then get one with a fast external port, preferably Thunderbolt 2 or 3. And then I'm pretty sure, ejector enclosures. You know what I mean? Where they're like toasters. You put a hard drive in, then you pop it out and put a different one in.
Actually, I've done that on a couple of Windows desktop machines.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that would save you the time of opening it up, putting a different drive in, and taking it out. That way you could swap pretty quickly, within seconds, just reboot the machine. I think an internal – I would get an XPS with an internal SSD because that's going to be the fastest. And on that one, you should put the operating system you use the most. And you will notice vastly improved boot times, vastly improved performance. It really is – a massive improvement. It's NVMe instead of SATA, and it's usually their M.2, but you want an NVMe SSD. And then get one with a fast external port, and you can buy an enclosure that works with that port, and that way you'll be able to swap drives a lot easier. But I do love the Dells. I think you were right to like that Latitude. You've had it for 9 years. I think an XPS 15 or 13 would be a really good choice. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. George in Houston, Texas. Hi, George. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fairly well. I have a question. I'm not having any issues with it, but I have Comcast cable. And I've been getting telephone calls, emails from them, and they're trying to pressure me to change my cable modem. Now, the modem that I have is a kind of slightly older version, but it works just fine for me, and they want me to change it out.
Is this coming from your internet service provider?
Yes.
Oh.
Comcast.
Well, they don't charge you anything to change it out, right?
No, but think what is the purpose? I mean, go back.
Well, I'll tell you one purpose for a couple of things. First of all, they do wear out, believe it or not. Yeah. But the other one is there's a newer technology. Did they say anything about something called DOCSIS?
I didn't look that closely at the letters I've been getting. I've been trying to ignore them, but I've heard of DOCSIS.
My suspicion is you have an older DOCSIS 2 modem, and they've upgraded everything to DOCSIS 3. Which means you'd get much faster internet. Why do you not want it? I mean, it's they just swap it in, right?
Well, it's going to be a pain to unscrew everything, take it
to the office. Well, that's a good reason, yeah.
Everything. I'm just wondering, is it really going to be that much of an improvement? I mean, is it?
It is if it's DOCSIS 2 to DOCSIS 3. It's going to be hundreds of megabytes difference. What Comcast has done... in response to competition threatened by Fios from Google, Verizon, and others, and I'm a Comcast customer, over the last few years, increased from their typical data speed from 20 to 50 megabits per second down to well over 200 megabits per second down. But you can't get that if you're on a DOCSIS 2 modem. They also, it's benefit to their network because they can manage it better. With a DOCSIS 3 modem. Yeah. So, but I think DOCSIS 3 is also in your interest because it will give you... What are you getting now for bandwidth?
I think about 25.
Yeah, I think you'd notice a massive improvement. That's probably maxing out the modem because it's an... How long have you had that modem, do you know?
About 5 years.
Yeah. I would say if they're trying to get you to get a new one, you're right to be suspicious. Mostly it's so they can manage it. One of the things you should be aware of, is it a Wi-Fi device as well?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah, okay. So this is another ulterior motive Comcast has. If you use an Xfinity Wi-Fi modem, then what they do, unless you turn it off, and you can turn it off, but most people don't even know this, so they don't, they're going to create an open access point called Xfinity Wi-Fi. They're trying to get these everywhere. Because if you're an Xfinity customer, you can put the app on your phone, and then as you travel around, a lot of the time you're connected to Xfinity customers' Wi-Fi. Now, they say, and I have no reason not to believe them, I actually have lots of reasons not to believe them, but in this case, I think they're telling the truth, that it's secure, it doesn't count against your bandwidth, because they have ample extra overhead, and they just allocate that to the second hotspot. But for that's the other reason that they, because you have Wi-Fi. My suggestion, by the way, to anybody who has an Xfinity Wi-Fi cable modem is to disable the guest Wi-Fi. There's a setting, and I'll put it in the show notes at techguylabs.com what to look for. I don't remember what it is. I actually, and I would suggest you do this, well, you may not want to buy another Wi-Fi access point, but I use a separate Wi-Fi access point that I provide, and I use just the cable modem from Comcast. I don't use a Wi-Fi cable modem. You can also, and maybe this is a good idea, save yourself some money by buying a cable modem. They're around $90, and you're paying $7 a month for renting one. So you can see very quickly you'll pay for it. In a year, it pays for itself.
Wow. Things have changed. Okay.
I know. But you don't need to, but I think if you want faster internet, it would be in your interest to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I appreciate the call. So don't fall for the, I'm going to make a wireless access point for everybody. I mean, you could do that if you're a good Samaritan. Comcast is insistent, and I think they're right, that it's not a security risk and it doesn't impede your own internet access. And it does, I mean, if you're a Comcast customer. I don't use them because I think there's a massive security issue with using them, because a bad guy could say, oh, it's Xfinity Wi-Fi. He could name his access point Xfinity Wi-Fi and fool you into using it. You don't want to do that. So I prefer, I'm skittish over open access points, wireless access points. That makes me nervous. It's too easy for a bad guy to spoof them. And I don't, you know, so I don't use them, and I don't think you should use them, and probably it probably is a good idea not to open that up. And then again, I often think buying your own cable modem is a good idea. If you want to know which cable modem to buy, I'm going to point you once again to thewirecutter.com. They have an excellent review of cable modems. You should always check the approved cable modems by your cable company. As far as I know, every cable company allows you to provide your own cable modem. But you should check, make sure. And then they will have a list of cable modems they recommend. In almost every case, they will allow you to use an ARRIS, A-R-R-I-S. In fact, they probably use ARRIS themselves. And the Wirecutter recommends the ARRIS Surfboard SB6141. But they also say, if you want, that's best for most people, $70. But if you want to go even higher speed, $93 for the SB6183. That's the one I ended up buying. And I'm often getting 200 megabits per second download from Comcast. So, but read the article, thewirecutter.com. They'll also tell you why it's a good idea to do your own cable modem than rent one. It's interesting. Oh, and we'll put this link in the show notes. Thank you, WP788. He's posted the link to Xfinity's list of approved cable modems. I would guess that they want you to do it because you're on such an old modem that they're not getting all the management that they want, and you're not getting all the speed you want. But you can see which ones that Comcast recommends on the website. Again, all the details for this on our show notes at techguylabs.com. More calls. Oh, Johnny Jack coming up right after this. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and here he is, soon to be a father, Johnny Jett. Hi, Johnny Jett, travel guru.
Hello, Leo. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, how's Natalie? She's feeling okay?
She's doing well.
She's now she's on bed rest, which means that she's just got to eat bonbons and watch TV all day, right?
Pretty much.
How can I get that gig?
Oh, it's not a bad gig.
Got to get pregnant first. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want that.
No. I'm sure she's being facetious. I'm sure she's uncomfortable and just anxious to have a baby. So good luck.
Don't know how the women do it. Really don't.
Nope. Thank goodness we don't have to, Johnny.
Very true.
Our job is much easier. We just we sit there smoking. You're not going to, you're going to be there for the delivery, right? Because that's a big.
Of course. Yeah. I'm going to be the quarterback. Catching.
You're catching? I love that. You know, you always see in the old TV shows and movies, the husband's in the waiting room smoking cigarettes, and he doesn't know what's going on. They take the wife off, and I think the modern way is a lot better. You're actually there. It begins the bonding process. I'll never forget watching both my children being born and my wife screaming and hurling epithets at me, cursing me for putting her in this state.
I'm looking forward to it.
just be prepared is all I'm saying. So let's get a travel tip from Johnny Jett.
Well, since you're going away.
I am. Next week.
And, you know, I remember you do not have global entry.
Sigh.
Yes, but now I have something that's the second best thing. And actually, some global entry users are using this instead of global entry when they return back to America in San Francisco.
Oh.
Because San Francisco global entry lines are so long for their kiosks.
That we're going in and out of SFO. Okay.
So it's also – so you need to download the mobile passport.
Mobile.
It's by the U.S. government.
Yeah.
The website is mobilepassport.us.
Nice.
So it's
– Johnny,
so it's,
you're saving me.
That's what I'm doing. So it's free for Apple, obviously, and Google Play.
Okay.
And they're live at airport Atlanta, Baltimore, Boston, Chicago, Dallas. There's a whole list of them. But especially San Francisco, since they've been having long lines for global entry. And I love global entry. It's been the best thing because I can go from – I can land from an international flight and be out of the airport within 2 minutes. So – but lately that's caught on. And now – and global entry, by the way, usually costs $100 for 5 years. This is free. So what you do is you download the app and you put in all your information. So you don't even need to fill out one of the forms they're going to give you on the plane because you're going to do it all on your phone.
This is awesome.
Yes. So you set up your profile. You put it in. You answer the questions just like they have on the form. And then once you land and you can connect to your wireless or your Wi-Fi – or your cell, you can submit it, and you have 4 hours from that point to go through the immigration.
So you want to, as soon as you land, you want to turn on your phone and push that form out.
Submit it, and then they're going to give you a receipt. I've never used it, so I can't give you.
I'll give you a review when I get back.
But I've heard good things about it. I mean, I still prefer global entry. I think it's still the best. But in San Francisco, again, I've been hearing problems with long lines. So this is a great alternative, and especially for your whole family. So you won't have to wait, because a lot of times when families are traveling together, you know, only one person has the global entry.
Right. And the rest have to wait.
Yeah. But this, if everyone uses this, you'll get out of the airport
now,
so
typically,
much quicker.
That blue form you get when you come back in the United States is for head of household. It's one form for the whole family. I'll figure it out. I'll get Lisa to get
to it. That's a good point. I forgot about that, because Natalie and I always have done separate ones.
Yeah. That's going to change. That's not, the most important change at all, but that's going to change. So now, does global entry, because this is only going to help me coming back to the U.S., I'm going to land in Paris. Does global entry help you there?
Doesn't help you at all.
You still have to talk to the gendarme.
For sure. But, you know, they usually don't have long lines in Paris. I've never had a long line.
Okay,
and these guys, the French immigration officials, they just look at the passport, boom.
Once I'm in Paris, even though we're going to other countries, as long as there are other countries in the EU, I don't have to go through passport control at all, right?
No, you don't. But if you go to the UK, you will.
Oh, because of Brexit now already?
No, they were doing that before.
Oh, okay.
And actually, in Switzerland too, same thing.
Yeah.
You'll have to... Usually, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure when I get to St. Petersburg, I'm getting the once over.
Oh.
What's your advice?
Do you have a visa for for Russia? Because if you don't have a visa, if you're on a cruise, so you won't need one. But because you're on a cruise.
You scared me. They said, I didn't even check.
Well, you will not check. Be able to go out. You will not be able to just walk off the cruise ship.
No, you have to be with a group.
You have to be with a guide unless you get a visa.
I think I prefer it that way. I think I'm going to stick with the group. I remember the last time I was in St. Petersburg, which is more than 10 years ago, they had the toughest controls. They really they gave you the once over, and then they gave you a little blue thing that you have to take your passport with you and take it ashore, and a little thing that you put in the passport, and you better have that when you get back or they're going to they're tough. So, and I can only imagine in 11 years intervening, it's gotten worse. So I'm prepared. I'm ready.
Oh, without a doubt. I remember when we were in St. Petersburg, we did a seaborne cruise.
Yeah.
And we're having lunch, and all of a sudden we look out on the dock, and there's a dead body. And I was like, there's a body over there. And the captain's like, we know. We've been trying to get it covered.
But jeez Louise.
The Russian government will not cover it.
No, you may not cover. We're looking at it right now. We're checking.
It was insane. I was like, maybe I'll just stay on the boat.
It's just little warning to you on boat. See these? This could happen to you.
Don't be scared. It was actually turned out to be, I guess, someone in the mafia, and they double-crossed, and that's what happened.
Oh, my gosh.
You end up in the river.
It's terrifying. Okay. Thanks for that encouragement. Can't wait.
St. Petersburg, I was pleasantly surprised. It's one of the most beautiful cities.
I can't
believe it or not.
Oh, no. I can't wait.
All of Europe.
Amazing. Amazing city.
It really is.
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a lot of fun. And then we are, flying out of Heathrow, so I'll have to go through the passport control and all that when I
So my tip for Heathrow, by the way, this will save you a lot of time.
Yes.
I know you're going to have plenty of gadgets and electronics. Make sure you take them out of your bin, out of your bag, and put them in the bin.
Put them in the bin. Yeah.
Just take out all, because I used to get flagged. If they find even like a liquid chapstick. You're gonna have to wait sometimes up to 30 minutes because
you
they
know
take
what I do. I have it's called a Scott E vest. It's for geeks, and it has 41 pockets. And I put all the electronics in the Scott E vest, and then I take that off and put that in the bin.
That's smart.
And they can do whatever they want.
I wear the Scott E vest too, but they still could flag the vest. It's nice to have them be able to see it. Otherwise,
your vest is loaded with lithium ion. Are you sure you're not a terrorist? No. It's just I don't have a Note 7. I swear. Oh.
I love Heathrow, especially Terminal 5, but I do not like every time you go there.
Transiting Heathrow is a nightmare. It always takes a long time.
Security is a nightmare. Yeah, also, you always circle. I've never been to Heathrow when we didn't circle for at least a couple loops.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I'll come back and I'll give you a report. So, but I'm definitely signing up mobilepassport.us. That's for return into the U.S. from international travel.
Yes.
Johnny, I don't know if you're going to be here next week. You could be somewhere. You could be in a hospital. You could be pacing in a waiting room. But all of us, and I know I speak for the entire audience, are so happy for you and Natalie. We wish you the best. And anybody who's been a parent, you know what it's like right now. This is a very nerve-wracking time. But we're sending you our love, our thoughts, and our prayers. And all the best to you and Natalie. And I guess maybe the next time we talk, you'll be a proud papa.
I hope so.
You're going to be a great dad. Are you going to how soon before you teach the kid to jet ski?
that's how I got my name.
I know, Johnny Jet Ski. I do. I thought it was because you worked for KGB. Johnny Jet Ski.
Yes. Did you see that YouTube video that went viral the other day? Someone had their kid on a homemade water ski at 6 months old.
No, please. I beg
of
you.
My kid's going to be.
No quiet. Showing off. No showing off. Thank you, Johnny. We'll talk to you next week. JohnnyJet.com. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And here he is, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. Dick D. Bartolo. Hey, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing, pal?
Good to see you. You know, earlier we just had Johnny Jett on, and people probably wondering how that happened because he's expecting and his wife's expecting. And, well, that was a pre-record. We did that last week. And, in fact, Johnny and Natalie have had their baby, little baby Jack, Jet. Jet. And he's beautiful, and mother and son are doing just fine. So,
oh, great.
Congratulations to Johnny Jet. That means you're next, Dick.
Yeah. How's that going to happen?
Well, you've got two dogs. I think that's good
Oh,
enough.
That's true. Yeah.
That counts.
That counts.
So Dick joins us. He's Matt. You may know the name because, of course, he's Mad Magazine's maddest writer and has been since practically the beginning. But he's also our great friend with gadgets.
And I know Johnny Jet had some tips for you for your trip.
Yes.
And I have a gadget for you. Now, when you fly, do you bring your own entertainment or rely on the airline?
Well, you know, we're going business class, so that means that there's usually a pretty good selection.
Oh, live stage shows.
Yeah, basically, I think they're bringing, this time, I think it's the Rockettes, and they go down the aisle.
I was just going to say, yes. Yeah. Yes, they're doing the Christmas show early for
you. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice, because, you know. Yeah. But usually, I bring up an iPad with stuff as well.
Okay, well, this is then perfect, okay? It's something I bought on Amazon. It's, you know, Amazon has these weird names for things. The Saffron Portable Power Rechargeable External Battery Pack with Multi-Angle Stand. Now, this happens
I wish you told me about this last week. I'm leaving tomorrow. I don't think Amazon can get it to me in time.
Don't you have 1 hour Prime?
That's what I need, the drone delivery for this.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry. So this little guy folds down to about 5 inches by four inches by an inch and a half.
Right.
It has two big thumb screws, so it has this adjustable bracket.
You know, I'm going to Russia. I don't think they let me bring thumb screws into Russia.
You know what? I'm not sure that they will.
There's a limit.
And we went to Bill took the whole Mad staff to Russia. And
Bill
we
Gaines bought, of Mad Magazine.
Bill Gaines. Yeah, we bought like cases of Mad magazines. Oh, they took everything at the border, so we went in with nothing.
Oh, they took all your Mad magazines?
They took all the Mad magazines.
That's because just rude.
We were meeting with. Believe it or not, back then they had their own satirical magazine, I think called
Angry.
The translation.
I think it was called Angry.
Yeah, something. Yeah. No, I think it was called Alligator.
Alligator. Okay.
Anyway, but we still met them, but we had nothing to bring.
This looks pretty cool. This is 10,400 milliamp hours, so that's a lot of juice.
A lot of juice, Leo. So there are two outputs on the side, a 1 amp and a 2.4 amp out.
But I love it because it's got an iPad easel or a phone easel. It depends. I mean,
a phone. It can pretty much hold any size tablet. It's heavy. It's a pound point two. But that means it doesn't fall over or have to have legs extend out to balance anything. It is really well built. It's aluminum. Comes in many sizes. I thought the price was reasonable. It was
30 bucks. Is nothing.
I paid 30 and Amazon Prime. They made one stupid thing, which doesn't really matter much. But to recharge the device, the cable plugs in the front, and so you cannot bring the legs totally down while you're charging it. But it's minor. It's good looking and. I think I'm sorry I didn't think of this earlier.
Well, you know where I found all about it? I found all about it on the GizWiz website. That's where I found out all about it.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a great site, man. You ought to tell people about it. GizWiz.biz, GIZWIZ.biz. You click the GizWiz Visits the Tech Guy button, and you'll see a link to the Saffron Portable Power Bank Rechargeable External Battery Pack with Multi-Angle Stand Charger.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, say that 10 times fast. Very cool. You'll also find the What the Heck Is It contest. Brand new chance to play. Just started this month. I feel like it's something to do with fence posts, making or installing fence posts.
That's actually a very decent thought. Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah,
well, the
that's
good news is you get an autograph magazine for the right, maybe 25, there are enough, 12 autograph magazines for the right answer. So random drawing among the 12 right answers, if 12 people get it. But there are 24 Mad magazines for the wrong answer. So you have a better shot if you get it wrong, to be honest. Just be clever.
Yeah.
Do judge on cleverness.
We do judge on clever. Yes, if it looks like what? Oh, you know what? You could use it for that, no matter how bizarre it is.
Okay, okay, no. Yeah. However bizarre it is, Yeah. All right. Could be, you know, it could be a replaceable lollipop holder. Like, it looks like, I don't know. It feels like there's something, I could grip something there. Maybe, I don't know. Go to the website, gizwiz.biz, and play the What the Heck Is It contest. Dick does a great podcast. You'll find that at gizwiz.tv with Chad Johnson each and every week. And he joins us every week to talk gizmos and gadgets. Yeah. I won't
and
see you.
And when you leave Russia, Leo, just say, hey, I was one of the guys you took all the Mad magazines from 20 years ago.
Do you have those now?
We're so sorry.
Do you have those? Remember him? You could give them to me now. You know what? They'd probably be worth something. Vintage.
Probably, yeah.
Vintage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I follow Dick, by the way, on Twitter. He's very funny. And on Facebook, there's always great Mad trivia and stuff on Facebook. I think it's great. Yeah. Thank you, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir. I'll see you soon.
Well, we recorded for next week. So there will be a fresh show next week. The week after, 2 weeks after Scott Wilkinson, I'm sure you'll be on with Scott because I don't think you guys hate each other yet.
No, and- no.
Good.
And then you'll be back in November.
No. I'm thinking 2020, maybe 2021.
2020, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, according to the, Johnny Jett, without that visa, I don't think you'll be back by Christmas.
Maybe even living in St. Petersburg, but I could do the show from there. I really could.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, Dick.
Okay, bye, buddy.
I will be back tomorrow. We'll talk more tomorrow about the iPhone 7. Don't have the new Apple Watch, but I could talk about Apple Watch OS 3 because that is a big improvement. And anything else on your mind will be right here. If you're on the line, hang on the line because I am going on vacation. I want to record a show for next week. So we're going to take some more calls, another hour of calls off the air because we want to surprise people with all new, fresh content next week. So if you're on the line, keep on the line. And if you, I do see at least one line open, 8888 Ask Leo. We'll keep going for another hour after the show. Heather Hummin is going to, has kindly decided to stick around and keep answering the phones. Michael, what's your last name? I don't even know if I know. We have a new musical director. Cosio. Michael Cosio did such a good job today. Playing the tunes, spinning the hits. We welcome him. Nathan Staten's moved on. He was promoted upstairs to the big show, coast to coast. Okay. But you know what? We got Michael, and I'm happy about that. So thank you, Michael, our new musical director. Did Nathan pass along the baton and the band leader's outfit? You got to wear that. No, it's important. I know it's radio, but you got to wear it because looks are everything. You have to dress for the job you want. Drum major. Thanks, everybody, for joining me. I hope you have a great geek week. Don't forget our website, techguylabs.com. All the answers and all the questions are there, audio and video, too. Have a great geek week. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.